Hey everybody, welcome to Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen. My name is Jay.
My name is Colleen.
And I'm Shandy.
Oh, no! Shandy, you're supposed to take the Jack roll where you say something ridiculous and stupid.
Oh, I know. I actually thought about that today and I was like, what am I going to say? And then I was like, God, that's just, I'm not that clever. And so I decided that I wasn't even going to try.
Actually, you know something? If you were Jack, you would actually literally spawn with, and I'm not that clever and I'm not even going to try.
See, I'm not even that clever to say that I'm not that clever.
Well, so let's try again. We'll give you a do-over, okay?
Welcome to Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen. My name is Jay.
I'm Colleen.
And I'm not that clever.
Shandy, do not discount yourself, okay? All right, I'm here to support you.
And you're, welcome to the show.
You're good enough, you're smart enough, and gosh darn it, people.
You
like
is
you.
Kind, you is smart, you is important.
I mean, there's like maybe like a difference to be had between smart and clever, so
yes.
That's okay.
And we're going to all, speaking of disclaiming, we're going to all fully disclaim that we watched the presidential debate in between watching the episode and recording this, so it's kind of difficult to remember what actually happened in the episode. I feel like people went in
yourself,
the water.
I remember everything. So
you have photographic memory, though. I've heard that about you.
Everything's there.
I have. So it's a little bit difficult. I'm kind of like, did somebody talk about ISIS or did they talk about going to the well to get ice? Like, it's just very confusing to me.
That was a nice attempt, Colleen, at
Shandy
tying
laughs,
the two together.
Shandy laughs, so whatever.
Yes.
Okay?
And I say, hey, there's that cleverness. I like it.
Shandy might be my favorite podcast on the Jane Jack Production Network, but she's also an easy laugh, so I feel like...
She's like your spirit animal.
Basically,
in a way.
Yeah. She's the female Jay, so the easy laugh.
The easy laugh. In that case.
Excellent. It's true. It's true, and I will own it. I'm okay with that.
Before we get into the recap today, we do want to thank the people that make this show possible. Our patrons over at patreon.com/JayandJack. Over 100.
He thanks them about a half an hour before I do, Shandy.
145 patrons that make this show possible. All of our shows, we share that money evenly. We also pay for all of our hosting, websites, people that make our websites, like Rob Francescanini that make our website, Jacob Parr that does all of our artwork. Just so many people that put so much work into making all of our shows possible. It all goes to them. So
those dudes that do sports talk. I mean, it's all there.
But thank you to all of our patrons that make this show possible. If you'd like to become a patron, you do so today by going to patreon.com/JayandJack or go to jayandjack.com and click on the become a patron link today. All right, that is it for the plugs. Colleen, are you ready to get into the recap for this amazingly interesting episode that totally was more interesting than the presidential debate, the last one?
Yes, I suppose. All right, so we start off and, freaking...
Colleen, I'm not feeling the energy here right now. You're kind of...
I'm getting there. I was building up.
I guess it was good.
Listen, okay? We are going to make this podcast great again.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay? But didn't I tell you to remind me to, use the word tremendous or something like that? Like, this is going to be a tremendous experience, okay?
Yes. It will yes, we're going to bigly do something.
False.
Trump is your people. Like, it's funny, watching a debate with Trump is like having an argument with you. It's very similar.
I don't know what that means.
Trump's a New Yorker, you're a New Yorker. It's just, there's a lot of parallels.
I don't know. I don't understand the question, and I won't respond to it. Hashtag
wrong.
Lucille Bluth. Wrong.
Wrong.
All right, so whatever. David finds an idol. Woo, good for him. We get to the beginning.
I will say.
Hashtag friggin' luck. I feel like...
Well, it's a bit divine intervention. It was stupid for giving it up last week. It was a crazy move. You could argue whether it was the right move or not, but the fact that he just gets it right back in the next day or whatever, that's incredible.
Yeah, just call him like Santa David Claus.
Why?
Well,
I don't know. He's sending it to Haiti or what was destroyed by what was destroyed by the hurricane?
No, let's not focus on that. Shandy, you, I think
okay,
you had
what's Aleppo?
You had a better topic to discuss.
I was gonna
here.
Well, do, I was. This. I was going to ask if you guys are suggesting that these idols are rigged, but...
the production team, they are totally left-wing, okay? It's a tremendous, tremendous inconvenience on...
but it's... He's lucky. That's a lucky draw.
Here's a question.
Yeah, once good for him. Hashtag Russell Hands.
No, but once you've found an idol, is it easier to find another one? Because you kind of maybe know where to look, you know what to look for. Is there anything to that, maybe?
They're all, like, serious.
Well, no, there's a history of that, right? Like, people Penners. That find one idol find multiple idols. You know, Jeremy, Malcolm. Like, there's a history of that. We've seen it, so there is a precedent set. But it just it's lucky for him where he played his idol where I don't think he needed to play his idol. And it worked out for him in the end.
Right.
Yes.
And again, like I was just saying, like there's that whole thing we've talked about this before, the Penner argument for finding an idol is if you're going out to look for an idol and production follows you, then you're close. If you're going out to look for an idol and nobody gives a crap, then you're not close.
Yeah, and somebody like David, who's clearly a fan of the show.
Yeah.
Right, exactly, who has that similar background, like, maybe is a little bit more sensitive to that going on. And then again, if he's found it before. Also, a lot of people have talked about how there's a certain kind of person that's going to be looking for the idol, who's maybe going to be putting more into finding the idol. And as we've seen, David, because of his, you know, hyper paranoia, he's going to be the kind of person that's out there, right. Who's out there actively looking. So it is, yeah, it seems a little bit crazy, but I guess, hey, why not?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah,
I do. I like David, so there you go.
Wait, don't that's, you mean good on him, Shandy?
I almost said that, and then I stopped myself.
Oh. You should. I said that on the broadcast last night as we were recording this, which I guess is tomorrow night for anybody listening. I said that on the broadcast several times. Good on you.
But and I noticed it and repeated it.
I mean, yeah. David's one of the few interesting characters this season, and I know maybe that's sacrilege to say. There's a lot of boring characters this season, but David's one of the few really interesting ones, so I'm glad that story kind of continues for him.
Yeah, I will say that this episode was kind of so anticlimactic, at least, that we were both kind of down on it a little bit. But we go to hashtag drop your buffs. And they switch from two tribes to three tribes. Taylor is worried that he and Figgy will get split up. I know, but luckily they end up on the same tribe. And he's like, Figtails continues. And I'm like, Figtails, okay. Yeah. But I believe the tribe that was, what is it, Ikabula?
The green tribe is Ikabula.
Ikabula, the green tribe. They're the Angkor. Angkor.
Angkor, yes.
Angkor minus the Abby Maria and Savage.
Yeah, and, that added to the general crappiness.
Yeah. And it's Brett, Michaela, Sunday, Jay, Will, and Hannah. And Michaela's not happy. And I feel like I like Michaela, but I feel like with the sound bites, they're like super trying to make her happen. And it's almost like how when I do a podcast and I also try to make myself happen, but then I re-listen to it and I'm like, eh, this isn't that funny. I was just really like pushing for it. And, you know, I feel like, you know, she's likable and everything and I hope that she goes far, but, you know, the sound bites.
Oh, man.
Or maybe that means that everybody else is just really boring. What do you think?
Well, I think that Michaela got a strong winner's edit in this episode, and I am super invested in that, and I kind of fell head over heels in love with her in this episode. I liked her before just fine, but this episode was like,
well,
just over the top. Yeah.
Something happens and I'm head over heels, so I never find out.
I'm excited to hear this,
then
the reasoning
I'm
why.
Head over heels.
Michaela? I mean, what, like... The reason that I fell in love with her?
Yeah,
or the reason
yeah,
that
yeah, yeah.
She's going to win.
We want to find your love story here. Let's dig into this.
Well, she's hot as and
oh, also, sorry, spoiler alert. We just cursed.
Oh God, I'm so sorry. Every time I come on this podcast,
I know every single time, Shandy. But that's okay.
But I hey, at least you're coming. You're coming on this podcast,
which is all Jay can hope for in life.
You know, as
I'm glad she's on this show. Like, what? Where are you? Where are you going? Yeah. This is horrible.
As the words were leaving, as the words were leaving my mouth.
She came first.
As the words were leaving my mouth, I was like, "Word choice," but it was too late. So yes,
just
every time
the words.
Every time I am lucky enough to be a guest on this podcast, I end up cursing, and I do apologize to the listeners. It is not on purpose. But I do love Michaela. She is beautiful, and is badass a curse? No.
No, that's not a curse.
Okay.
That's not a swear.
Okay.
Well, it's like 50 cents in the dollar jar, but okay.
Okay. She had her fire-starting moment. Yeah, she had that confessional about how every time, and I loved that, like, every time she got to the point where she was almost going to give up, she just went a little bit further and pushed through. Like, that, for me, that was, like, winner's edit. And then she was, you know, so amazing in the challenges and stuff. Like, she was awesome.
It was a good episode for her. I wouldn't say winner's edit, because, I mean, we had a couple of those this season. Like, Zeke had his fire-starting moment, and... So
David
I
did too.
Yeah, so I get it.
Hers was more.
It was definitely a rock star episode for her with that, and basically winning the challenge for her team. But I too soon to say winner's edit. I feel for her. I get what you're saying. Beautiful, strong individual on the show, but starting a fire and winning a challenge in just one episode, I do not think that's a big enough resume to say winner's edit at this point.
Well, I don't think it was just that she started a fire and that she helped win the challenge for her tribe. I think it was specifically the confessionals that they then showed of her. Like, that moment where... Also, the way that people were talking about her, you know, she went off to cry because it was just so emotional. She just wanted it so bad. And people were respectful of that and were saying good things about her for that. They weren't criticizing, like, oh, and then she got emotional. You know, they were like,
that's awesome.
That's
a fair point. Like, when Steven went off 2 seasons ago, you know, we had that whole sequence with Jeremy and Savage being like, well, where is he going off to do, like, find an idol? So, yeah, that's fair. I'll give you that.
Well, and then while she's crying, she has that confessional saying, like, talking about how she wants this for her family. She wants to show that she can, you know, like, do a good job or whatever. I can't remember her exact words, but I think that was very powerful. And then the whole thing about how whenever, you know, she thinks about giving up, she pushes through. I just thought that those confessionals in particular were, for me, those were the moments where I was like, this girl's winning this game.
All right, fair enough. I don't know if I'm quite on board with her winning, but I definitely think that Michaela is a character that is going to stick around for a while. Like, I think that she's probably, at the very least, top five, baby.
At least.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's tough to say this season, because there's even where we're 4 episodes in, there's not, like, a clear cut. It's a very open field still, I feel.
Basically, we have no...
There's no Michelle at this point.
there is Michelle. But
yeah,
there's no Debbie or Sydney.
For the Michelle truthers, which Colleen, you were a part of them.
I was. I was right. So hashtag truther.
But like you and
everybody
else. Oh
my God, I was a birther for Survivor last season. Hashtag
wrong.
Ken. Hashtag Ken is a 10.
Ken is a 10, though.
He is a 10. I'll give
usually a woman takes my tag as my crush of the year, but... This season, Ken is still my hashtag crush of the season.
So wait, can we just take a moment here and realize that all three of us are crushing on Ken?
I know.
There we go. All three.
It's kind of a special moment.
It is. It is very much so. I just he's like humble, but like really hot at the same time. It's a rarity. Yes. That's rare.
Ken, can we buy you a drink, all of us?
All three. I'm in.
Can we go
saying.
On a date? Like a three?
Like a four-way,
a
four, right?
Or Bing Frank, a five-way.
I didn't agree to bring Frank into this.
Are you including Frank in this?
I did not agree to bring Frank into this. I do not know Frank.
Oh, that's right. He was totally out on Survivor, so don't worry. He'll stay home.
Okay, there we go. So that way, it's still an even ratio.
Yeah, it's two guys, two girls. It's fine. But everybody's occupied. We're all good. That's all.
I would like your proposal for this. If you could please just like give me a diagram just so I know.
Just as long as Ken's there, that's all I need. All right.
All of us. That's the hashtag all of us.
Hashtag all of us.
Hashtag Ken is a 10.
Ken is a 10. Yes. Yes.
Oh my god. And the funny thing
hashtag Ken is N.
Wait, Ken is what?
Ken is in. In.
Oh. In. N. Oh, I see what you did there. Yeah. Ken is in.
Yeah.
I hope. I can only Ken hope. Is in, yes. You can only hope.
You can only hope.
All right, so Figtails, they continue.
Figtails. Woo. Boo, 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 boo,
I still like that from last week. I do have to mention.
Actually, Taylor's like the most annoying like suitor or pseudo boyfriend ever. Like, it's like you're so hot. Yes. Why don't you love me? Why just tell me you love me?
Wait, wasn't the L? Was the L word?
No, he wasn't throwing the L word. But
this
just,
episode is in the previews.
Nah, it was. But even this, it's just like, why can't we just be open and blah blah blah? I'm just like, ugh, shut up. Child.
Yeah. Oh, good times. So
he just really doesn't think it's a bad idea.
All right. So,
worst player ever.
So okay. First of all,
it's bad. Come on.
All right. We all remember.
This should have made a discussion.
Kegan. Right?
I don't even care. Like, just like, oh, really, you want to have an open relationship and make yourself a power couple?
Okay. Well, that's just because Biggie's on your list after Ken. So shut up.
No, I might be. Is it Michelle?
That's Jedi Braid Girl.
Yeah, I might be her before Figgy.
I feel like Figgy.
But Ken's like way up at the top of the mountain, and that's everybody else is kind of like secondary.
You know, Michelle is a missionary recruiter, and I'm starting to wonder.
And you like use a missionary, so it works.
Listen, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's what I'm also, that's what I say.
Hashtag Ken is a 10. All right, so the Green Tribe, Ikabula.
Ikabula.
I feel like that's something that would also confuse Gary Johnson.
What's Ikabula?
What's an Ikabula? Yeah.
Listen, I know what Ikabula is, all right? I'm just not going to tell you because really that's not what this discussion's about.
All right. Ironically, Jay says that most of us millennials are relentless.
I didn't say that. The TV show Jay said that.
Yeah, TV show Jay said that. We've got Taylor, Figgy, Ken, Jess, Adam on that tribe. And is this also the tribe that Hannah was on, or no? Okay, no. Is this very confusing?
Hannah's on. Wait, Ikabula is Michaela, Sunday, Brett.
That's right. That's
Hannah.
Right. I'm so sorry, guys. Please don't give us a bad review. Just so, Ikabula is Brett, Michaela, Sunday, Will, Jay, and Hannah. And this is when Jay is like, you know, Michaela's like, "Oh, I'm not happy about this," and Taylor is like, "I still get my tail," and Jay is like, "Most of us millennials are relentless because the producer asked me that question." So that's the thing that happens. And then I must have not labeled this in my notes, but we've got the tribe of Jesus. This is not good. Somebody vamp. Oh, okay. So back to the.
I'll just back Colleen up on this. She kept confusing the tribes the whole episode.
I was like, just read me them. Episode. Like, can you just tell me who's orange again?
They're telling you on the goddamn show. Jeff says it 800 times.
I for some reason just had such a I have not had trouble doing this the last, like, what, like 2 years, 3 years?
I swear it's never happened before.
Isn't it? Yeah,
she kept saying the whole time.
That's what
really,
I did.
It was really awkward.
I did. I was like, hashtag drop your buffs, because, you know.
Hey, the only reason I even know is because I have it open online. So.
Oh, she is.
I'm there with you. It's
yeah,
Shani's
got it open online,
and
Jay.
It's like, yeah, they have tribe names that, like, we never knew in the first place, and we're not going to learn now. Just, like, go by color. Maybe that would be easier. But also, yeah, the first time they swap, it's really hard to remember who exactly is on any tribe, except maybe for the tribe that goes to tribal, because we saw more of them than the other ones.
Which is essentially, if we, like, distill it down, Colleen, don't worry, it happens to a lot of people. You're fine.
Yeah, that. But whatever tribe, I guess, has Taylor, Figgy, Ken, Jess, and Adam on it, Figgy doesn't want Taylor to out them as a couple, but Taylor's like, but why? Adam is not happy about Figgy's attitude and flirting.
You're hot.
You're so hot. I am like a total meat collector. I'm a fig collector.
Figs are tasty, though, I will say.
They're right. I mean, they help you poop, so there's that.
Fig Newtons, one of the underrated.
Yeah, no, they're disgusting. Fig Newtons are gross, but figs
they're not,
do.
They're
like dates. They help you poop.
Yeah, they're not underrated. They're adequately rated.
No, they're not. They're just gross.
No, I love Fig Newtons.
Exactly.
A good Fig Newtons.
Yeah, there you go. Like Shandy said. Yeah. Hashtag what Shandy said. Hashtag Ken is a 10.
Hashtag I'm with Shandy.
Yeah, hashtag no, I'm with hers.
Yes.
Anyways, Ken has a total man crush on Adam, and that made me, like, immediately hate Adam. Because I was jealous, because Ken had a crush on Adam.
Why are you having
The more the merrier.
Yeah, like, what's the...
So you want it to become 3-2?
Why are you so possessive?
Like, so you want
it to
be,
possessive?
Like... So apparently Jay wants our new... threesome to become foursome to become 3-2.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, like, really? Would you ever say no to 3-2? Like, I kind of like those numbers.
Shandy does. Hold on. We're contemplating.
I guess. It becomes more complicated.
It's like, are we going to write down rules beforehand?
But if Ken's
Usually, I'm still in. this is why this is good, because usually men are like, don't want to be in the majority.
Yeah,
like,
that's
so it doesn't
tough.
Happen as often. So it's I'm all for it.
Yeah,
Colleen,
yeah.
You should support this. We need to sway some people here.
I totally support this as I take a sip of my wine, girl. But. Yeah, Adam, I'm sorry, Ken is, like, so into Adam, like, he's super positive, and he's polite, and he's, like, totally got his back, and I was like, oh, bro, man.
Yeah, I'm taking notes how to woo Ken at this point. I'd be really positive, you know, it's just...
Yeah,
you've gotta
be able to fish, because apparently catching fish is a really big deal. But anyway, go to, what is it, Vanua? Day 14, Vanua?
Vanuatu? What? No.
Vanua,
yeah.
Vanua.
Yeah.
There you go, Vanua. Zeke rarely remembers his dreams, which is great. Good on him. if anybody out here is a longtime Jane Jack listener, they might remember the one and only Cliff, the hybrid. And Cliff used to keep a dream diary, and he would wake up in the middle of the night and write down his dreams.
That is true.
He shared it with me once, and I was like, oh, Cliff.
But even before that,
his dream diary is like, I went to Target in my sleep.
You can learn how to control your dreams if you do a dream diary. I can control my dreams.
No, are you talking about lucid dreaming?
No, I'm saying. Well, most dreams are in that kind of period before you wake up. But if you do a dream diary, and actually this relates to figs. There's a great book by the guy that
Something
did
figs.
The Polar Express, but the magical fig. But like you basically like kind of you can work on actually controlling your dreams, and it's possible. I do it. It works great. I'm just saying.
Are you talking
it's
about
possible.
In Westworld where she goes like 3-2-1 and close?
No. I'm saying you can when you're you can have awareness that you're in a dream and control what's going on. It's a real thing.
Yes, because the dreams are in your mind. Yes. I listen to Mysterious Universe podcast. They talk about this there.
I'm just saying. So,
I'm going to guarantee you that Cliff's Dream Diary had nothing to do with that.
Zeke, you not remember your dreams. Dream Diary will change the game and change your life. Just saying. Hashtag just saying.
Also, melatonin and getting pregnant. Two best things that ever happened for my dreaming.
That's very sexist because not all people can get pregnant. So,
but everybody can take melatonin. So,
so one half of your solution.
Exactly. Like, I'm pretty sure I bought ours from Walmart that like few months that we took it and I had the crazy dreams. But moving on, Ikabula. I forgot to mention this for day 14. So, Michelle was all nervous about being in the minority, but like Zeke is like, Chris and I are Oklahoma boys. Woohoo. Michaela wore awesome leggings, which has nothing to do with the story, but you know, we just also had a lot of things that didn't have anything to do with the story. So I figured I'd throw that in there. But Chris, feels more in control of his decisions. Zeke is thrilled that Chris played for his childhood football champion team. So he is totally on team big ginger-haired football player. And that was the point where, you know, Jay was like, huh. But, yeah, Chris finally caught a break in the game, or Zeke finally, I said he.
They both kind of caught a break.
They kind of did. And the fact that they didn't go to tribal and they both were highly featured makes me think that perhaps.
Well, I'm just saying, Ginger Hulk didn't have much of anything in the first, but in this episode, a little more character. And pairing up with Zeke, I think, is a good pair up. And, It was pretty cool to see. Like a Sooner fans, like Oklahoma Sooner fans, are really intense. They love their program, and it was really adorable. I loved it.
No, sorry, Shandy, what do you got?
I got nothing. Gingers unite. I mean, yeah, Chris has been kind of a bore. He's been a major snoozer.
He's been a bore
for a while,
for
so
sure.
It was a good episode for him. It was actually, this is why I really love the three tribe format just in general, because I kind of feel like we get to know all of the people just a little bit better because the tribes are so small. So yeah, it was nice. I mean, it's good for Zeke too. So that's good.
Yeah. We go to Ikabula also on day 14 and they can't start a fire. However, Michaela has worked through some personal things and she finally makes fire after monologuing. Just about how she wants to prove that she can have success. And I will give you this, like, Michaela is clearly going very far in this game because this whole sequence here, her talking about making fire and wanting success and all that, like, that is clearly, you know, in there for a reason. It's kind of almost like your redemption slash hero edit or whatever. And I will say that I am not putting any points on Michaela going home for a little while. I think that she's going to be in it for a while. I mean, we all like her. We've got this great sequence, same as Adam, right? Like Adam last week. So yeah, I feel like we're going to see a lot more of Michaela. She just seems like somebody that we are really going to like, right, guys?
Totes my goats.
Oh yeah. I'm on that train.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, you are. Okay. So,
on that midnight train to Michaela. On the midnight train.
Michaela is Ayla? No, she's like a 10-la. Also, I love Michaela. Let's just
move. 9.5.
Nine and a half.
I'm just saying, like, I don't think there's ever a perfect 10 in the world.
Other than Ken?
I thought you said Ken was a 10.
Well, Ken's a 10. That's different. Because it rhymes.
That's actually true. That is, it does rhyme. But, so with a half an hour left, we started the immunity challenge. And Jay and I were both, we were both kind of buzzed because we had been drinking. But, B, we were like, ooh, this is going to be like some crazy drama going on because, you know, there's. But that said, like, David loses the buoy and, you know, disaster. And I was just like, oh my God, John Cochran is going to pop out at some point because like, there's like a skinny white dude that's totally messing up the entire challenge. So clearly that's Cochran's role, but, hashtag, 10 is a 10. which then leads to the best two lines of the entire episode. Are you guys ready? These are obviously from Probst.
Yeah.
Okay, the first one is, Ken has not scored yet. Oh, I'm sorry, Ken has not yet scored.
Which is hashtag unlikely. My friend.
Hashtag come out and play.
Hashtag I believe we suggested something earlier. Yeah.
I believe hashtag I believe we had a solid proposal.
Hashtag foursome. just in case you didn't get the callback. And then
I think saying hashtag four way the right way is probably the better way to. But whatever, that's fine.
All right, that's fair. That's fair. And then the second quote of the night was, Ken, in and out!
I liked that one. I tweeted that one, and Shut Up Tim tweeted it at about the same time. It was great minds. Definitely.
I guess I know where yours and Tim's mind were at.
Yes. They were, our minds were in and out.
Well, Tim's in a constant state of thirst, so it makes sense from that perspective.
Aw, leave him alone. Leave Timmy alone. So we get to the rest of this challenge, I guess. Michaela scores a lot for Ikabula.
She was in the zone, like just she nailing was. It. Nailing it.
Yeah, nailing it. Like, nailing it like get it's... Girl. Hold on, let me do my joke. Michaela was nailing it like it's Ken.
No, like you wit. No.
Come on, that was funny.
It's too obvious. You're coming on too strong now.
Whatever. Ken scored for his try, but again, not with me. look, Shandy Pence left at that last episode, okay?
But again, Shandy is the female version of me. She'll laugh at anything. It's not.
Okay, no, but I literally laughed out loud as I was like listening to the podcast. By myself. So there are different levels of laughing.
So hashtag Shandy in a vacuum.
Hashtag I don't even know what. It was good. Hashtag I liked it.
Hashtag it was tremendous.
Hashtag I liked it hugely. Bigly.
Bigly. Bigly's the word.
It was huge.
Huge.
And Jay is like, hashtag wrong.
Wrong.
But anyway, Ivanka, a.k.a., I'm sorry, Ikabula, wins immunity. Ikabula wins immunity thanks to Michaela. And Takali was second. And that was the first time the whole episode that I was like, oh my God, that team has a name. I still don't know who's on it, but they had a name.
Okay, Ken's on it. My girl Jessica's on it. Takali's a good trophy.
Oh, your girl Pink Eye.
Yeah, so you support Lizard Eyes?
Yeah.
Hashtag Pot Island.
Hashtag horrible tattoo.
It's not.
Hashtag horrible tattoo choices.
On Jessica?
Yeah, like it's just, nope.
I can't remember what her tattoo was.
She's like this crazy, cherry blossom thing, like all over her body.
I probably actually really like. I'm super pro tattoos, and like even if
you
they're bad,
I am
pro tattoo as well. But
yeah,
it has
Jay
to
and
be
I are
good.
Get a matching Zachary tattoo at
but,
some point.
I like that.
But
or just a Z.
Like I'm not anti tattoo in any shape or form, but her tattoo is horrible. It's just a bad tattoo. That's all.
Okay.
In my opinion.
I will say that is a little bit big for my taste. I'm just saying. I mean, well, I'm sure that Nick is going to send me a tattoo that's bigger and prove something. But, you know, we're just going to.
Hey, good for Nick.
When he inevitably does, can you please forward it to me?
Absolutely. Or we can just hook you guys up and he can send you 12-inch pictures of things himself. All right, moving on. The immunity challenge. Whatever. Okay, after that, we go to Vanuwa, and Chris is ready to vote. CeCe off. David is weary and thinking Michelle.
Can I say it's like the most boring post?
I will admit
like,
that.
Challenge in a long time that I can remember. Because it was obvious it was going to be CC. They usually do try to do, like, the edit to where they try to throw you off the scent or whatever. But this one was pretty boring and clear-cut, in my mind. In my mind.
I have to say, it's probably because I'm a little naive, but I was a little bit like, oh, what is going to happen? Because, like, everyone was talking to everyone, and it was like, there's only five people. Like, everything could get completely blown up. And I think, for me, the clincher was when David was talking about how maybe he'd play his idol for CeCe. And, like, normally that would just be one of those things that you don't even pay attention to, because why would he do that? I was like, oh, last episode he played his idol for Jessica. So it's actually in the realm of possibility. We've seen him do this. So I was a little bit, you know, skeptical. I did think that, I mean, especially since CeCe got that confessional after the challenge, and I did think the editing was pointing that way. But for a moment I was kind of like, okay, like, things could happen here. There's, like, a lot of different ideas floating around.
Your points are, I think, valid, and because he made a crazy move last week, it did at least give it more credence. But just, like, doing that same thing 2 weeks in a row seems slim. And
oh, that would have been insane. Like, that would have been, I mean, it would have been insane more so if it had, it was post merge and had an actual effect on the game for him, I think. I mean, I don't know. I called him Santa Claus on the Twitters, so.
Santa
turns
Claus.
Out he wasn't quite that generous.
Yeah, it turns out everybody was naughty and nobody was nice on his tribe, so.
Yep.
Yeah, good times. But, yes, getting to this tribe real quick, and then we can, I guess, talk it through, because, again, like, I'm sorry, Shandy, that we have to have all these innuendos on the episode that you're on, which I guess every episode, but, like, you know. I personally feel like this wasn't, like, the greatest episode of Survivor ever. Michelle wanted to vote off David. David doesn't trust Michelle. He's worried that once CeCe is gone, then he's the weakest person in his tribe. So that was the one thing that made me think, like, okay, maybe David's going to try to save CeCe, because he, I mean, that was also, wasn't that in Cagayan, like, Spencer, I'm sorry, Tony always said that he kept Spencer around because Spencer was a bigger target. And then in Cambodia, wasn't part of the reason why Spencer kept Jeremy around was because Jeremy was a bigger target. And
I thought Jeremy had the stronger kind of meat shield strategy.
No, Jeremy wanted the meat shield.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he did. But I'm guessing that Shandy just text. Yeah. Jay should as well.
What?
Do you have your phone?
Wait, what?
I don't.
Well, I think you should check your text messages.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Text messages?
But,
Just chuckling at Meat Shield, but
yeah, Meat Shield, haha, that's very funny.
Oh, I just checked my text messages. Now I have Jay's number.
Ah! Now I have Shandy's number. At least there's one good thing to come out of this situation.
Thanks, Nick.
Jesus Christ!
Isn't that one hell of an immunity idol?
Oh. Wait, okay, so I have two new numbers. Okay, so that, okay.
We can suss out the numbers after this. But, yeah.
Mine has all of the sixes. Was...
yeah, Jace
is the devil.
I thought this was
from Colleen.
No. Jay's phone number literally has a devil in it. But, anyway, so David has this misdirect during tribal. If the Gen X 3 are truly united, we have nothing to worry about. And that was kind of when I was like, all right, it's probably going to be like Michelle going home. But then CeCe ends up going home in a hashtag blindside. And I thought that Chris looked really pissed.
Yeah, I mean, I think you saw something there, Chris, but it was his idea to kick out CeCe. So, it was kind of, I don't know, a moot point, I think, to think that Chris was upset. It's like, it was his idea.
I know. Maybe that was just me interpreting. And, like, I thought that he didn't look great. Like, he didn't look great. He didn't look happy or whatever. But clearly, you know, that was just probably just editing. And I'm assuming CeCe went because she was the weakest in the challenges, which I can't blame them.
Well, is she, and this is actually an interesting point, is she weaker than David? Why? Why did she get voted out over David?
My guess would be, honestly, is that she is somebody that could probably blend in easier at a merge. Whereas David is very, very, you know, in your face about everything. Like, he does not seem like the blend in type of person. So I think that most likely in this instance, it was that CeCe was one of those players who probably could make it to the merge and then make it all the way to the final three because she's not threatening to anybody. And that's just, and, you know, that's just what my gut says. Whereas David seems to be able to always be in some kind of trouble on the bottom of the tribe. But like we talked about last week, or on the tribe or whatever, like, despite the fact that we keep hearing that he is on the bottom, on the bottom, on the bottom, much like I hope that Ken is not on the bottom. I feel like we haven't actually seen anything that actually shows that David is on the bottom beyond, you know, these random, like, confessional, not random, but like these confessionals or whatever. So I feel like David was the red herring in this situation because clearly, you know, people have been after CeCe for a little while. She's not the strongest in the challenges. And David is somebody that is not going to lay low at a merge. He's going to probably, you know, implode himself if you know, present, you know, scenarios hold up or whatever. So to me, I would go for the, if it was between one, in the pre-merge scenario, if it was between one person that was bad at the challenges versus another one that was bad at the challenges, I would probably go with the one that could potentially take my spot in the end.
I think it's interesting to know that. So Chris did talk about, you know, which one to choose. And the one thing that he said was David has some numbers and that can be good at a merge, which I was like, when he was saying David had some numbers, I was like, oh, that's a reason to vote him out. But I guess Chris wants to align with him and use his numbers at the merge, which is interesting because, again, you have these two people and one of them has burned you twice. And yet you're still going to go with that one over this other person. So mm-hmm. did think that was a little bit curious. The other thing is, like, being bad in the challenge is like, okay, CeCe's not great at water challenges, apparently, like we saw in this episode, which David was not strong in that either. But she's been helpful in other challenges. So she's not, like, universally catastrophic in all challenges. There's just one type of challenge that she's not as good in. So I don't know. It was an interesting choice, I guess. It seemed a little bit like Chris was going with his bros. I like David, and I've been, like I said, my brother works for somebody who's related to him. So I feel this, like, 5 degrees of separation, like, connection to him. But exactly. He's my best friend. He doesn't know me yet, though. But so I like David, and I've had my eye on David, and I want him to stay in the game. So I was happy that he stayed in the game, but I just thought it was curious that we have CeCe going out.
Yeah. I guess they kind of, we're not going to pretend, like we said, like, that this was an interesting episode by any means in terms of things to dig into.
That's what we thought about, but do we have any listener feedback on what they thought about it? So let's try to dig into that.
All right.
On Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen.
And
Shandy Pants filling in for Jack.
All right. So our first email is from Rob from the 605. And he says, I love the tribal expansion that happened tonight. It's Survivor gameplay on rocket fuel. Safety nets are gone, and the scrambling is vicious and delicious. I'm a bit shocked that David didn't play his idol out of paranoia. Luck played into Zeke and Michaela surviving, with Chris being willing to adopt them and make a move. Now, was that really luck, though, or was it so much like Zeke kind of working it to make a bond with Chris? Are Gen X doomed to be
I don't think he was working it because he was genuinely a Boomer Sooner fan. Like, he knew the coaches and then was like, oh, you're part of the championship team. So I think he was really enamored.
You know all that stuff too, and you're probably
I'm not a college sports fan. I'm just saying you could tell he was a fan. I think it was less him playing him and more him being in awe of the Ginger Hulk.
All right, that's fair. But Luck played a part in Zeke and Michelle surviving, with Chris being willing to adopt them and make a move. Are the Gen X doomed to be begone by millennial numbers now? I am not sure if they are as willing to keep the Gen X around like they claim they are. What do you think? Love the show. Rob from the 605. So what do you guys think? Do you think that the millennials are just going to straight up begong the Gen Xers?
Not necessarily, because I think with the millennials, they really, there is the Figgy crew that alienated a good portion of the millennials. So I don't think there's going to be a straight begonging. But again, anything can happen. But I just don't see it.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I think that there were enough cracks in the millennials that they're not necessarily just going to straight up all work together. And I certainly hope that that's, you know, how it's going to go, that there'll be cracks in all of the tribes, because I don't think anyone wants to see a straight up begonging. And I think there's a good case to be made for it not happening.
So the next piece of feedback is from Mandy, and that is, who is the biggest loser tonight? CC, David, or Trump? Just kidding. We all know it was Adam getting stuck with the star-crossed lovers. Real question. In the preview, we see Figgy and Tyler being open about their relationship. Who does this paint a bigger target for going forward? Mm. Well, I think we talked about this a little tiny bit last week, where it's probably Figgy.
Yes. Because Figgy seems to be more of the, how do you say, brains of the operation. So
other brains ain't really like listening to the brains that should be listening to.
If you had to pick one of the two, it would seem Figgy is the one running that duo. So take out the brains, and then all you have to do is just the brainless muscle. So then just let them flounder.
I don't know. What do you think, Shandy Pants?
I mean, I think if it's pre-merge, it's Figgy. If it's post-merge, it's Taylor.
Good call.
That's a good call. That's a good call.
So if next week we're still gonna be in the pre-merge, I'm assuming. If their tribe goes to tribal council, I would expect them to potentially target her, definitely. But I mean, obviously, then once you get to the merge, then the perceived challenge, you know,
yeah, the threats change. Yeah,
right. I think at that point Taylor would be the bigger target. But,
right.
But I mean, yeah.
Even if. Just on the basic level, like, Taylor just seems kind of dumber, so they would probably they might keep him around just for that aspect. They're like, well, you know, good, like, just you know, think of like,
well, you know, he is dumber, so
no, I'm just he seems kind of dumber, so they, you know, they
he's
might
got a big dumb.
They
so.
Might actually send the other one home, and the other one, I mean Figgy, because they might think that she is the brains, and you know, keep Taylor and his other brains around on the island.
Yeah, cheeky cheeky dum dum. So,
all right,
but they have to make sure not to let him Fabio this.
I don't think that's the thing.
I don't think so either, because Michaela's gonna win. So, but you know, it should be sort of in their minds. Hopefully, yeah.
There we go. All right, so what do we got left? Fantasy League or something?
No, it's time to tally the votes, see how you guys did last week. So let's jump into that right now. Again, Shandy, put on your Action Jackson cap, because you're going to be picking his picks this week. Because CC Taylor, in our preseason picks for where they're going to end up, I said final three. That was obviously not the case. CC, big disappointment, I think, in terms of where we thought she might land. Jack said pre-merge, so he gets a point there. And Colleen said final three, no point for Colleen. So Jack gets a tally on that one. Who we said was going to go home? Jack, actually it was Mike Bloom, picked Figgy for Jack, which did not happen. I picked Taylor, which did not happen. And Colleen picked Figgy, which did not happen. I am picking first, and I'm going to pick Figgy because it's only a matter of time. Next up is Colleen. Who do you think's going home next week?
Well, I kind of want to pick Figgy as well, and I feel like I can't do that because you did it. So I'm going to do that, but reserve the right to change my mind.
No, you can't change your mind. This is it. It's in stone.
Why not?
It's the name of the game. So is that your final answer?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well,
I will say,
to be boring.
I will say that in the fantasy league, I did get 8 points.
I'm so proud of you.
And I'm in first place, so.
Nice.
In the words of the great late Whitney Houston, kiss my
ass. Shane Delaney Ding Dong, what's your pick here?
So I'm going to be super boring and pull a Mike Bloom and also agree with both of you and pick Figgy. Because I also, sorry.
It seems like the writing's on the wall, right?
Yes, and like we talked about, if their tribe goes to tribal, and we keep getting this story about how they are a couple and people are realizing they're a couple, then I think her time's up.
Right. And we should just specify here that because Figgy is being portrayed as the brains of the operation, I feel like that's kind of a compliment to her that she would be the one that would be deemed the bigger threat to get out first.
That's a compliment, but if you're playing the game right, you shouldn't come across as the brains of the operation. Somebody else should.
Okay, well, to be fair, if you're with Taylor, though, like, how can you not come across as the brains?
Yes, he is the prototypical dumb blonde.
The prototypical.
All right, in terms of the tallies as they are so far this season, I have 0 points, Colleen has 4, and in the lead is Jack Gladfelter with 6 points on the season. Good job. Our picks to win it all, I have Adam, Jack has Ken, Colleen has Michaela. All three are still in the game.
Yes, and as far as the fun office pools thing that we've got going on, that I'm literally the only one that cares enough to make our points every week. Shockingly, I'm in first place, and you and Jack are tied for second place. I wonder how that happened.
Because we're both not doing it. All right. That is it for this week's Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen.
You're a zero. I mean, look at you.
I'm a three at best.
I don't think so.
A three at best. thank you to Shandy for jumping in this week. You are a
welcome here anytime.
A podcaster and welcome anytime on any of our shows. But Shandy, do you want to take this moment to plug some of the podcasts that you happen to frequent?
Also, I have to, can I just say, I'm really sad.
Yes.
I've dropped from 2nd to 5th place in the tribe one, and I want to go cry now.
Oh, I wonder where I am. Probably still last. Don't worry.
Where can you
I'm there on the bottom to welcome you.
I'll take your bottom anytime, especially because John seems to be like he's in first place. So,
are you saying that he's the top to our bottom?
Oof.
I kind of guess I am.
Okay. Hashtag Ken is 10. Yes. If you would like to listen to me on another Survivor podcast, you can check out The Tribe, and also you can hear me and Colleen both on the broadcast.
The hit program. Absolutely. So thank you so much, Shandy, for coming in, filling in for Jack this week. We're thinking it's Facebook.
And by hit, he means success, not a different kind of...
What? Like, hit it?
I'd hit it. Oh, that too. The hit it program and the success program, not the domestic abuse program. I just want to clarify that.
Well, since I'm in this Ken foursome, I guess I'd hit... Like, what, 2 out of the 3 broadcasters? Is that what we're saying? Is that the...
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Hashtag Patreon level.
give us a call at 385-309-0311. Call anytime. Also send an email to survivorjjc@gmail.com. Want to thank the people that make the show possible, our patrons, especially Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Richter, and Brad from Chicago.
He's saying Jay's got his eyes closed right now with his hands up in the air like he's truly feeling the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So thank you, Brad, Tack, and Eckhart.
If you'd like to become a patron today, you can do so by going to our website, jjack.com, and click on the Become a Patron link. We do a lot of different podcasts. Colleen and Shandy are on the Fantastic Broadcast. I, along with Jack and Mike Bloom, are doing a fan... I'm not going to say it's fantastic, but it's a lot of fun, our Westworld podcast for the new HBO TV show, Westworld. I think it's at least a 9.5. Not quite Ken 10, but pretty close. but still, check that out. Next week, we're a new Survivor episode to talk about. And Jack should be back, so the original trio should be back. And that's it. Anything else, guys? Any final thoughts? Any final words before we close out the show?
No, I just, you know, hashtag Ken is a 10 at us. And
I think that's it. Ken is a 10.
Yeah. And our Twitters are, I'm at Colleen84. That's two L's, two E's.
Shandy, what's yours?
You can find me at Shandy Lomparelli.
Sound that it out.
Sounds like a lot of freaking letters.
Yes, good job with that. With the if you can spell it, it's Shandylomparelli.
I still didn't quite grasp that. And mine's at Luke Vank. Our official podcast Twitter is at Jane Jack. And until next time, guys, we will see you on the flippity flop. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Peace out.